Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. Warehouses can be incredibly dangerous places to work. Powerful equipment, heavy boxes, and lots of people dodging each other, avoiding disaster after another. What could possibly go wrong? Well, we'll answer that question today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. Please be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to this program on. It'd be greatly appreciated. You won't miss any of our episodes. And if you got it in you, spare about, I don't know, 30 seconds. Go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review there. Then shoot me a screenshot of that. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com and I'll put you in the drawing for our monthly Employee of the Month giveaway, where we pick one person and give them the really kind of pointless title of Employee of the Month. But it makes you feel special on the inside, or you feel really like, well, this is bullshit. But hey, I give you a $100 gift card as well. So that part's not bullshit. The title is complete bullshit, but you get that. And a parking space in your driveway. So, or wherever you park. It's right there. It's for you. And you can keep it for the entire month. And that's it. I'm not paying your parking. I'm not going to get you out of tickets. But wherever you can park legally, that's your parking space, along with the gift certificate or a gift card or whatever. So there you go. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you.
Well, I think that's quite generous, because most places, all you get is that cheap-ass little Employee of the Month certificate.
Well, what about the parking
space? If you're lucky, you get $10 at the movies or something. But the parking spot, that was quite generous of you.
I always love the parking space one, especially when it's like a really tiny parking lot and it doesn't make a fucking difference. It's like, well, I get it. Like, if they normally had to park way the hell down there in a different block and walk or whatever. But if it's like you're saving them 3 seconds of the day, or, you know, from the...
It's a pride thing, because if my name's on that parking spot, I'll be like, yeah, it's me.
Does anybody...
Look, everybody's got to walk by my name. Going, Carol Hughes, she's really great this month.
Does anybody truly get off on that? I mean, is there a human being out there? Maybe there is, that like gets that parking spot. It's like, shit, yeah, that's my parking spot. You know, does that exist?
Yeah, I got it once.
Yeah.
And I took my picture by it.
But you were making fun of it.
I was on one side and my dog was on the other side. I'm like, yeah. I just thought it was kind of awesome to see my name on a parking spot, because it had never happened before.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's happened since. And so there was that one month and it was like, yeah, like I did something.
The highlight of your professional career, getting that parking spot
for a month.
Maybe it's the person who that genuinely works on and isn't kind of like tongue-in-cheek, you know, making fun of it, is the same person who may still have like their 4-H awards up from when they were four and now they're, you know, in their 50s.
Well, I don't have any of my 4-H awards, but I did get some and I was quite proud of those as well.
You know, it's fine in the right place and time. It's just there's a certain time you got to take down the sixth grade bowling trophy or whatever it may be because, you know, you grew up. So I don't know. I just wonder about these things in corporate environments where the higher ups are like, hey, how can we really motivate them? I know a parking spot that's 10 feet from where they normally would park. That totally will make them feel special.
Well, I was watching this show the other day and it's a new show. It's like the Extraordinary Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And this girl, Zoe, works in this tech firm. But it's really like, and I think these places really exist. It's like they think of all these really cool things that young people would like. So like they have ping pong and they have cereal bars and all this stuff. And I think it's, you know, to get you to stay at work for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, it seemed kind of like a really cool, like adult daycare place.
It's kind of what it becomes.
But you know what I mean? Like they try to attract these 20 somethings. So they do it with like, we have ping pong and we have a cereal bar and we have all these really cool things. Like I think Facebook probably has really cool things if you work there.
Yeah. I think Google was the one that did a lot of that in reality. And
like slides.
Yeah.
Like I know somebody who put a slide in her office to slide down from the second floor to the first floor, which I thought was pretty cool. And I suppose people did it from time to time.
And then everybody realized they were adults.
And then you're like, shit, I got a skirt on.
Yeah.
I can't do that today.
And someone's taking really weird selfies at the bottom right as I land.
Bob is always down there with his damn camera.
And his flies open. That's weird. You know, I was going to tell him, hey, someone's, you know, but it's, I don't know. It's an interesting state of affairs. I mean, I know like it's not new that that sort of stuff exists, but it's a sad state of affairs that, you know, the workplace has to have a cereal bar and we have to have all these amenities that essentially would be great for a youth group room at a church.
Yeah, that's what in that show I was like more fascinated by her workplace than anything else. I'm like, it might be kind of cool to work there, maybe, or not. Because it's kind of like, I think the idea is to rope you into working 12 to 15 hour days and not needing to leave.
Well, with all that, with all those distractions and everything that everyone seems to need, yes, you may end up having to work a 12 to 15 hour day. But if you just did and dedicated yourself to your job and did your job in an efficient manner, would it really take 12 to 15 hours or did it get extended with the cereal bar breaks and the ping pong and then playing Nintendo and basically acting like a 12-year-old?
Yeah, because it's like, we need a creative break. Let's go play foosball or whatever they do these days. I'm sure it's not foosball, but maybe. But I just think it's just like you could have gotten a lot more done without all of I don't know. I'd love to hear from somebody who works in a place like that.
I miss the good old days where it's like, we need a creative break. And then the boss just pulls out a bottle of Jack Daniels. Everybody.
Yeah.
Have
like,
some.
That's what we used to do. Like every Friday at 4, the boss would bring in liquor, you know.
That's how we wrote half our promos.
And then it
got
to be Thursday and Fridays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays. And he was going through a divorce and it was every day. But seriously. And then it was at 4 o'clock and then it moved to 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it pretty much just stuck with every day at 3.
Yeah.
But then he would go into the sales department, shut the doors, and he'd have a case of beer, and then people would come back in, and they'd just sit and drink all day.
It's creative
break.
That's
the kind of workplace I'm used to. Yeah.
There's so many wonderful radio promotions. I think I wasn't with you at your station, but it was a different station when I was younger. I was like 18 or so, that we came up with over drinking. And to this day, I look back on some of those promotions going, those were great. Those were creative. Those were funny.
Yeah.
They weren't the run of the mill. Hey, listen for your name 3 times a day. We might, you know, it's the name game. It wasn't generic bullshit like that. It was like really interesting, funny, bizarre, you know, stuff. And without, you know, that we didn't come up with it after having a bowl of Wheaties and then playing 5 rounds of ping pong. No, it was after five shots of Jack Daniels. God damn it.
But I'd love to hear from somebody who works in a workplace like that.
You know,
like just to, so we can kind of, I'll never work in a place like that. Because I think it's primarily tech industries and stuff, or really cool workplaces, and I don't know. But, like, does it really help you? Does it motivate you, or what?
I think it's a lack of preparing the youth for life. It's like, now you're going to go into the workplace, and they're not going to have ping pong and foosball tables and cereal bars. And they're like, fuck you, I'll show you. Look, my job is a ping pong and a cereal bar, so fuck you, Mom. Fuck you. You know, it's like,
I got all that shit, Mom.
I'm going to go back into the basement now. I know I'm 34, but fuck you, Mom. I said I wanted regular Frosted Flakes, but I wanted the one that came with the peel and stick tattoo. You got me the one with the emoji plastic thing. Fuck you, Mom. Fuck you. I think I can apply for Social Security benefits now, can't I? Yeah.
Oh, that made me laugh.
That's the world we live in today, children.
Yeah, we would hear from that guy.
833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, both stories are from the same place, and I have many more to share about this job that I had. I worked for a company whose owner is a complete cheapskate that puts a good face on in the community but treats his employees like garbage. When I started, I was warned to keep an eye on my paychecks because the girls that worked in the office were under orders to try to skim hours off our weekly pay. That in my first 2 weeks of working there, I saw it happen to six different people. So I built a spreadsheet using Google Docs and could tell you at the end of my work week what my paycheck was supposed to be the following week. That happened to me. My paycheck was short by 3 hours. I calmly walked into the office and informed the girls there that I'd been shorted, and they all but called me a liar. So pulled out my trusty phone, laid my spreadsheet out for them to see. Company would round to the nearest quarter of an hour. So I'd set my spreadsheet up to do the same thing while keeping my clock in times accurate to the exact minute that I clocked in. I was then written up for having my phone out on company time. I took the write up and then told them they would get me a check cut by the end of the workday, or I was going to call in on Monday and find a lawyer that would handle our case up against them. They wrote me up and promptly tore up, and I had my check in hand by the end of my workday. The second thing that I'm going to bring up is how dangerous the equipment is in that building. Now, this is a warehouse where forklifts and other power equipment is being used around pedestrians all day long. The bosses in this facility wanted the forklift drivers to pretty much run these things right up to the line of dangerous all day long to get the orders filled as fast as possible. And if you're not fast enough, you get bumped down to filling the orders, which are not a job that a 40-year-old can do. The lift that I was assigned to have an issue, sometimes it would just randomly stop turning right, or sometimes it would just randomly turn right. Both issues were well documented and fixed several times. The last day I worked there, this piece of shit randomly turned right into a rack and destroyed two pallets of product in the process. My boss came over to inform me that although he didn't want to write me up, we need to go to the office and fill out the write-up. I told him not to even bother with the trip because I had found a better job with better pay and an owner who gives two shits that our tools are in proper working order. As a side note, this company seems to be in trouble at least once a year, and this trouble disappears after the city gets a sizable donation from them. You just got to love the way politics work. There you go. Sounds like a fun experience.
Well, there are several things about that story that piss me off. But one is that you don't get to mess with people's paychecks. Like, if that is so crappy. If you worked 40 hours, you should get paid for it.
Yeah.
And then to not have equipment that works properly. But the thing that even makes me the maddest is that they make donations and then the people at the city turn the other way. You could, no. Like, that's crappy.
I think that happens more than people realize. in cities where things like, it's like, well, there's influence there and so-and-so got out of trouble somehow, or so-and-so's information never got leaked out, or so-and-so's discretions never ended up in the newspaper. You know, even though they were quite obvious and like, holy shit, they did what? You know, that happens.
And, well, then you think, like, say you had 300 people and you docked them each 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's 300 hours.
Yeah.
That you didn't have to pay. So that is really crappy to do that to the people who are making your company work. They'd have nothing if they didn't have employees.
No, it all adds up. But I think it's kind of one of those things where they just view it as, well, there'll always be another one that's willing to do it. And they don't seem to invest enough in their product, you know, their equipment more, you know, they're certainly not going to do their people, which are probably viewed as even more disposable than the broken equipment that they are letting them work with. All it takes is that forklift, you know, running someone over when it does a random right turn and then game over.
Yeah. And I do think that a lot of big manufacturing warehouse type places, that they do see the employees as disposable. Like, if that one quits, we'll get another one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't retain employees like that. And you really need to retain employees.
Yeah.
I just don't get why you treat people like that. That kind of thing just makes me so mad.
I don't know if it's a thing out where it's, you know, obviously, yes, you need to retain employees. But I wonder if there's a level of frustration with companies where it's, you know, we try our best. We work really hard to retain them and it still doesn't seem to work. And eventually they're just like, fuck it. Not that that's a right way to work and you should have dangerous things by any means. But I wonder how many times companies, especially smaller companies that are maybe a little more hands on, just feel like, no matter what we do to try and make this a great environment and care and all that, they still leave us at just the same frequent rate and have the same problems as far as not being able to come into work or maintaining their level of sanity or professionalism to work. And they just say, you know, at some point we give up and the care goes away. Yeah.
And I think some of those jobs are really difficult.
Sure.
Because they're very, like, I did one in college. I worked at a plastics factory, and it was the most monotonous job. Like, an 8-hour day felt like you'd been there for 3 days.
Sure.
And it was painful, too. Like, you know the sleeves that are on, like, a 2-liter bottle, that plastic?
Yeah.
You know, it says, whatever, Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they put them on now, but back then we had to slide those over top of each bottle.
You were a label putter on her?
Yeah. Wow. But you would rotate. And then one day I put plastic jugs into boxes all day. And then one day I did that. And there was another day I did something else. So they would rotate you around because, like, you'd put those plastic sleeve things on and like it physically hurt your hands, physically hurt at the end of the day.
Sure.
You couldn't do it 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
And so then we would do the milk jug thing and I don't remember what the other ones were. And at the end of I think I did it for 3 weeks because it was just a temp job. I was trying to make money to go spend the rest of the summer in Chicago with my dad. And they're like, you are so good. They wanted to hire me. I was like, I'm going to go to Chicago for the rest of the summer. And, like, there was no way on earth I could have done it. So I think that's why a lot of places, it's like, it's a tough job.
Yeah. Did they try and spice up the deal at all and say, but Carol, we'll give you the parking space. And maybe.
Well, they did offer me $3 more an hour than the temp agency.
There you go. There you go.
And I was like, no, this is exactly why I'm going to college.
Big time now. What's interesting about jobs like this, too, the forklift things brings up a memory, not from my personal experience, but someone who I know, where, and this would be what happens in larger companies, I would think maybe some small ones, if they're really well prepared for this, because maybe it happens far more frequently than everyone's aware of. But a large company, which shall remain nameless, I knew someone who was in a forklift accident where the forklift basically pinned the individual against a concrete wall and you know, nearly killed the person. You know, there was concern that it had, you know, cracked the skull, did damage to his ear, but he survived and went on to continue on. Immediately after, there was, here, sign this. We're going to take care of all your medical expenses. We're going to take care of all this and all that. And basically, you know, sign your concern away and your rights away as far as ever suing us or talking about this publicly, because if you do, all these medical expenses that we're going to pay for right now will be gone, which it's like, well, you should be fucking doing that to begin with. There's no doubt about that. And maybe there should be a little more compensation involved here, but
well, that's where you should be talking to a lawyer.
Yeah. And that's where I think the individual, you know,
they intimidate you.
Yeah, it's they
like,
do.
Well, I need these. I have to get this paid for. I can't afford the hospital bills.
It's like you're sitting there dealing with a missing ear, and then
right.
And you're
that's scary.
And then you're also traumatized at the moment. Then suddenly, you know, before you even get to the hospital, here, sign this. That's how I think they get away with some of that stuff. Now, credit to them for saying, you know what? We're taking care of the medical bills, because there's plenty of shitty companies who'd be like, well, fuck you. You got insurance. You deal with it. You know, so at least they did that. That's, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. And I understand it's corporate culture. You got to protect your ass if you're the company. So I don't necessarily, if I was the corporate company, I don't necessarily think I'd be doing anything that different. So I'm not really, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not really arguing either way, but maybe it should be something where, you know, there's a more of a system in place. I don't know what that would be of like, if there's an accident on the job, you know, we're going to pay you this in lieu of you suing us. And just say, you know, this is for your discomfort. This is for that. And please, you know, agree to it. You know, if there's death, that's a different story, or gross negligence. But I don't know. It seems like a very quick jump in their move of please don't sue us. Please don't sue us here. We're going to do this for you. When there really could be, you know, I'm not saying to go to a frivolous lawsuit, you know, where it's just, you know, milking the system and everything. But that's probably why that shit is in place, though, too, because people have done that where it's like, stubbed my toe. And now I'm going to sue you for $1 million in damage. And then it settles out for $100,000. But that $100,000 is more money than that individual has ever seen. So, you know, they got to do something. But I don't know. It's an interesting environment. It is what it is. I don't think there's really, I think there's a right in there somewhere where there's a right and a wrong. I'm not here to profess I know what the right is. Because I can understand it from both perspectives to an extent. But I don't know. It's just kind of both things have created the product of where we live today and how everything functions.
Yeah.
833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us or through our website, officehorrorstories.com. You can write it completely anonymously, and we would love to hear your story and share it on the air. Let's go to our next letter. It says, I worked in a fast food restaurant several years ago. Like most of these kinds of places, there was a high turnover, and I was promoted to general manager within 6 months. It was a chain restaurant, so there were 8 different locations in the city, so managers were shifted around regularly. The assistant manager sent it to my store. We'll call him Bill. He was a large guy, early 20s, and just a creepy vibe. The female staff hated working night shifts with him, and a few times he followed me into the walk-in freezer for no reason. I grew up with brothers, and I'm 6 foot tall myself, so he never tried anything with me, luckily. I also had mace with me because of a past incident. One morning, I had to take my car in, so another manager gave me a ride and offered to run the deposits to the bank. We pulled up, walked in. Alarm was not set. $500 in gift certificates left on the front counter, safe door open, and the back door not fully closed and latched. The restaurant was on the outskirts of a town and not a lot of other businesses around. I've been robbed at gunpoint before, and being a 22-year-old female, this made me extremely pissed off and nervous. We found out that a deposit was also missing. I called our district manager and said I wanted him gone immediately. I explained that he had closed the night before and the camera showed his lack of safety. Instead of firing him, they moved him to another store. I would see him driving by my apartment and the store randomly for a while. I found out later he was fired from the company when another deposit went missing from a new store. He moved on to another fast food chain doing the same thing, but he was caught stealing enough to be arrested and spent some time in jail for it. A few years after that, I had a friend from out of town visit me for a weekend. She was a manager at another restaurant, so we usually traded stories. She talked about the new friend at work. After describing him and mentioning his name, I realized she was talking about Bill. A few days after the visit, she called me to say that she asked him if he remembered me, and he said that he did because we spent the first few months banging it out all over the restaurant and that I fired him when he started turning me down. I nearly threw up after hearing that. I explained the reason he was fired and that he was a disgusting creep. My friend quickly ended the relationship that they had when transferred him to another store. Shortly after that, I quit, went back to college, earned my degrees, and now work in a much better situation. Thanks for the laughs and the stories. I love your podcast, all of them. Keep up the good work. There you go. Spent the time banging it out all over the store. Jesus.
Well, and then, like, how do you do that? And then they just transfer you to another store. I don't get that.
It's like the priests that this get transferred from parish to parish. It's like, oh, this will fix the problem. No, it won't. Not at all. Yeah, in a very different way.
And I, you know, sometimes, like, if you get fired or you left this job and you go to that job, it's kind of weird now because with HR things, like, they could call the previous employer who could say, yes, that person worked here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't give them like a recommendation anymore as the previous employer.
Yeah.
You can basically just say, you can say yes or no that they work there. And maybe can you say that they got fired or quit?
I don't know.
But it's really limited, like in a corporation, what you can really say.
I know.
So I'm like, well, that's how people continue getting jobs and taking advantage of people, is because nobody can say, yeah, I was embezzling money and we had to let him go. Because sometimes there's not any charges filed because it's like, okay, they stole $500. It wasn't worth
court fees.
All that it would have taken to, you know, it costs a whole lot more.
It's bizarre.
But, like, how does a person like that keep not only like getting transferred within the company? Like, is he somebody's kid?
It goes like, what do references matter anymore when that's how it works? You know, it used to be something where you would strive for the reference from the higher up in the company, from the manager, from your boss, or were somebody higher up than you that could, you know, sing praises because you did a good job. But now in most places, it's you can only say good or bad, no matter how great that person was. Yes, they were employed here. The same as Jimmy Bumblefuck, who was embezzling money. It's like, they worked here too. And it's like everybody's on the same playing field. And the only references you can get now are from like friendly coworkers. What does that matter?
Yeah. And like, or from somebody in the community or from your church. Like, because I think I'm pretty sure I shared with it that one time. About the one time the guy put me down as a reference and I don't really know him.
Yeah.
And they called me and like, they're like, what's he like in a difficult work situation with his problem solving skills? I'm like, I don't know. I had a beer with him one night. Like, I don't know about his problem solving skills under pressure. It was the weirdest thing. But then I'm like, he's a nice enough guy. I want him to get the job. But I don't know what to say. No. I bullshitted it well enough that I guess that he did get the job or somebody else gave him really great references. Because when they do call you for a reference, they're not easy questions anymore.
No.
That's what I realized. So now if somebody asks me to be a reference. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
But it's such an awkward moment.
I can't really say.
Where it's hard. You can't like really say no either. Cause it's like, no, I don't think so. But thanks for asking. You know, it's like, cause it they're coming to you because they trust you. They look up to you. They think they value your judgment. And you're a total asshole if you're like, eh, I don't think so. Try again. Yeah. You can't.
It's like that guy you've been dating. He says, let's get married. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, let me think about it. It's a very Larry David move. If it's very like, pretty sure I'm not going to give you a recommendation. But, we can still be friends.
Oh, good luck. Certainly, you know someone better than me.
Yeah.
Like, I have kind of implied that before. I'm like, you know, but we've never worked together. Well, it's not like they're going to call you. No, they will.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to lie about something. I don't know. Like the people I know well enough, I'd say, yeah, put me down as a reference. It's those people. Like, yeah. I don't know you.
I know.
So that's how people keep, like, he just puts down his buddy and says he's like manager of the fast food restaurant that he never worked at. And then buddy's just a stoner in his mom's basement. He's like, oh, yeah, he was a great employee.
Yeah. I mean, when we take out the equation, legitimate references, and they can't give you, and they have to dig somewhere to get the references. So, I mean, you have social media, yes, but you know, it was nice to be able to talk to the former boss that could give you information and just be honest about it. But that's gone. So now you have social media and friends, and then you're supposed to base a hiring decision on that. So like, what are you going to do? Like with the, like, well, I checked out, you are, I got to compliment you. Like it used to be, you got great references. Your former boss said great things about you. Now it's like, I got to say, you know what? You really pucker your lips up. That's fucking amazing. In those 42 selfies you took last Sunday with your dog. And then those random children that were in the one picture you took selfies. Were that like your kids, your niece or nephew? It's like, no, just people I saw at the park that I wanted to take a sexy photo and kind of show some cleavage with. Well, that compliments on the cleavage and the puckering of the lips with the random kids. Fucking great. You are hired.
And you don't have a criminal record.
Yeah. Like, you're great. What the fuck? But that's, I guess, you know, that's what we deal with. Maybe that's why it seems to so many positions now when you're out in various places. I guess more so the service industry, because that's what you come face forward with. Go to a restaurant. That's basically what I do when I go out of my home. I feel like it's been a downfall in like quality over the last handful of years, like dramatic. Maybe that's part of it because nobody can give a reference anymore. So we're basing it on, you know, Steve Q.
Feelings.
Yeah. And Shody Yo For Fun 69's reference. And that's all you're getting. And it's like, well, what are we supposed to base this on? She said she was great. And Shody Yo For Fun 69 also said bitchin' person, you know, and and then emoji. And the whole reference was basically communicated in emojis.
Yeah. Like, and you could do that now.
This is our fucking world. We're living in
idiocracy. And besides, nobody would ever pick up their phone to call you back.
No.
It's just, that's the other thing. You know, like, good luck getting that reference because you're going to leave 20 messages and they'll never listen to them.
Exactly. Can I just text that back to you, please? Or send it
if you texted me, like, I would have given you a reference, but nobody texted me.
Yeah. I don't understand what panda, handgun, poop, and heart with arrow mean. What is that? It was very clear. You should know what I meant about that person. They were killing the hearts and they care about animals and the world and everything as a whole. Okay.
Somebody did that to me on Facebook or texted me recently, but there's a whole row of little emojis. And I'm like, what? I'm supposed to know what that means? Like, it's on my phone. It's tiny. It must have been on Facebook because I couldn't enlarge my screen. I'm like, what is it?
Like, if you ever
great,
really.
You like that picture of me. I don't know what that means.
It's like if you ever really want to fuck with someone who communicates in emojis, just randomly hit emoji buttons and then post it and then call it good.
Praying hands, poop emoji. Yeah. I was like,
what did you
mug
mean?
A beer.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean by that? Or maybe they'll totally get like, thank you for that. I really, message really hit home. It's like, great. That's fucking wonderful. You should go kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, oh my God. So anyhow, I think that
I
will.
I love the idea of a reference all in emojis. That's pretty funny.
I'm going to do that next time I'm supposed to give one. There you go. And I think that's going to wrap up today's edition of Office Horror Stories. If you got one you want to share with us, send it to us, officehorrorstories.com. Or 833-HATE-JOB to call it in and share it. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.